Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to serve the living God. We thank you for the Word of God. We're going to open again tonight, and we look to you, Lord, as we do this, and we're mindful that this is from you, inspired of God. And we thank you, Father, to know that when we read from this book, we can learn everything we need to learn. It may take some time. We may have to be patient. We may have to wait on the Lord. But Lord, everything we need to know is here. And the Holy Spirit lives within us to be able to understand it. We thank you so much to understand how this body is the temple of God. And we also thank you, Lord, what it means to see the Spirit of God meet mid His people and the Holy Spirit move in upon us and bless us by being present not only in our body, but in our midst. And I pray tonight you'd bless us that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Job to start with. I'm going to give you four or five places to read with me, and then we're going for the text, 1 Kings chapter 9. You know, nowadays you can be talking about the presence of the Lord, and there'll be a lot of debate about this situation, this place, presence of the Lord. Sometimes they say that God's omnipresent, therefore being omnipresent, He's always present everywhere. And to some degree, that's true. He is. And yet, on the other hand, God writes to us about Himself not only being omnipresent, present everywhere at one time, whether it be the universe, the earth, or wherever, but then He tells about there's a time that we can be in His presence noticeably, more so than just omnipresent. I mean, here tonight, He's here in this building with us. He lives in us. He's in our midst now. He's desiring that we have a great service tonight. He's in our midst. There'll be some, though, may have him living in him and miss him in our midst. And he gives us an understanding. Now, you and I can't unravel how that happens, how God could be omnipresent and then suddenly be in our midst, present, that he's more personal than he is omni. But he is at times. And he talks to us about being in his presence. Not only that he lives in us, but be in his presence. How can the world that... If God is omnipresent, aren't we in His presence all the time? You better believe we are. But you know, a lot of people be in His presence not know they're in His presence. That don't keep Him from not being omnipresent, though. But then there's other times that people may not realize that He is omnipresent, and He be right in the very presence of those people because they feel His Word penetrating their heart. So let's look in Job chapter 1, start with in verse 12. Job said, God says to Job, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. And you know the story before this. Satan has come and talked about Job, and God has blessed him. That's the reason things that he was like he was. Now, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thy hand. Now, watch this next sentence. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, God is omnipresent, but here Satan goes before the throne of God, makes an accusation. God gives him permission to go to Job, and he says he leaves the presence of the Lord. That is, he goes forth from the presence. Now, it doesn't mean he gets out of the arm reach of God, but as far as conversation, as far as knowing, he leaves that atmosphere. And he goes to another place where Job's at. If you look with me in chapter 2 and verse 7, we see again. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with some boils from the sole of his feet, a foot, unto his crown. If you look with me in Psalms chapter 100, turn over a little ways. And in Psalms 100, you see in verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Isn't that interesting? Hey, God is omnipresent, but tonight we come before His presence with singing. We've sung songs to give Him praise. We've sung songs to show adoration for Him. And therefore, it's more than just knowing He's here, but it's paying tribute to Him, and we sing in His presence. In Jonah chapter 1, we also see another portion of Scripture. In Jonah chapter 1 in verse 10, and here, you know, Jonah has run from God. Now the ship's fixing to sink. And said, then were the men exceedingly afraid on that ship and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. There again, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Someone said, well, you really can't flee from the presence of the Lord. He's omnipresent. Well, we understand that, but you've got to understand when God deals with us, He talks about there's sometimes that we are in His presence. Sometimes we run from His presence. You see, the thing about it is when Adam sinned and God came back down, when God left, He was still omnipresent. But when He came back, Adam fled, tried to flee out of His presence because he realized that he would be standing, not just he'd be some mystical way in our midst, but he'd be standing before Him in the way that God showed fit to present Himself. In Hebrews chapter 9, over in Hebrews chapter 9, we see these words that are written. In chapter 9, in verse 24, he said, "For Christ is not entering into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Isn't that interesting? Though He's omnipresent, Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the presence of God, making intercession for us right now. And the fact that He's sitting there is not some mystical figure that Jesus can't see. Somehow He localized Himself on the throne of heaven, and He is making intercession for us on a personal basis in the presence of God. Now come, go to 1 Kings with me, chapter 9, and we'll stay there for a little while. 1 Kings chapter 9, and we want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to speak to you tonight on the presence of God. On the presence of God. I'll tell you this. There's nothing in this world like having Him live in us after we're saved. But I want to tell you something that's better than that to me. Is when you get to preaching somewhere or another and the anointing of God comes upon you and you feel things happen that you knew could not happen in your own energy. You feel things happen that God suddenly takes over in the presence of God. Not only that, but there's others who come seeking blessings feel the same. God can't do anything or He won't do anything for anybody who's not seeking a blessing. Some people come to church, settle, and their mind's wandering way yonder and odds with everybody else in the world just about. You're not going to be blessed because you're not in a frame of mind to be blessed. And God's not going to burglarize your will. But I'll tell you this. If you come to the house of God where the word of God's proclaimed, there'll be something God will give to you that will bless your heart as He meets in our midst. And even tonight as we look at this, the presence of God. I read where a few years ago there was a man that had been on the deacon board for a church about 25 years. And he said, you know, God had come to him and burdened his heart. And he said, "I feel led to go into the ministry." And he went into the ministry. And the first church he got, he said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "Now I've got a church." And he said, "Most of my people in my church are educated." He said, "I need a doctor's degree." And so he wrote and got a mail order doctor's degree in his church out of the mail. And he announced to the congregation that he had got him a doctor's degree. And they said, "Well, how did you do that? You've not been to school." He said, "I did exactly what the Bible says do." He said, "The Bible tells me I can have this. And I did exactly what the Bible said do." They said, "You show that in the Bible." And he opened up the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased themselves a good degree." Well, we can misunderstand the scripture sometimes and make it say what we want it to say. But seeking God's will is not an easy thing, but it can be done. Seeking God's will is very important in people's lives. But I hear so much nowadays of people seeking God's will, they got all kinds of things. Things coming out of the woodwork. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that it could happen. The odds it won't happen, though. As one fellow made the statement, he said, "Now, Lord, if you really want me to do this, what I feel want to do, I want to do it, Lord, but if you really want me to do it." Now, here's what was said. The fifth stoplight I come to, let it be green when I get there. You say, "Well, now, preacher, what's wrong with that?" The thing is, you're playing. God has better ways from His word to give that. Another person said, these are literally true, said, "You know, I really want God's will, and I've been praying about this particular thing, and you know, I can't get no peace about it. Now, God, what I'm going to do, I will do this or not do this on this basis. If my phone will ring at exactly 9:21 this coming Thursday night, I'll do it." You say, what's wrong with that? You think God couldn't ring the phone at 9:20? He could, but that's foolish. That's foolish. Satan may ring your phone. He has done a lot of times. How you know? I've been talking to people of the Lord right in the plan of salvation, phone ring. You think God couldn't have kept it from ringing? Yes, He could have kept it from ringing. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of things people are talking about, finding God's will. You know how you find God's will? You get in this book, and you seek the will of God, and you wait on the Lord, and you let Him test and try and bring you to a point. As you go through things, He opens the doors. Not afraid to step through a door, but realize that you have to, sometimes you have to wait on the Lord before you make a decision. And if you wait long enough and you pray and you stay in the book and you be doing what God says to do, and this always amazes me, if I 49 years ago didn't start doing what God said to do as a basis, I wouldn't be here today. I'd been tripped out a long time ago. I'd have left what was been done so quoting for God a long time ago. What happens is this. You end up, you move forward, you wait, and you trust God, and God works in your life and brings you from one level to another. The presence of God is so important. We understand that the way the world looks at God is entirely different than the way God reveals Himself from the Word of God. He will reveal things. Now, in this day, in 1 Kings, He did use dreams. People ask me now, what about dreams? I don't know. I don't rely on dreams. I had, you've heard me say, 3 dreams in my life, and I had one dream years ago in the ministry that made a great impact on my life. I won't get into it anymore, but it made a great impact on my life. And I've seen that dream come true. By the way, that dream has come through in the last 49 years. The last phase of it has been filled right now. I see that now. But I don't rely on what God wants me to do from a dream. But in this day, they didn't have the Word of God. In this day, we're going to read 1 Kings, God revealed things through dreams. Now look with me in 1 Kings chapter 9. It says, "And it came to pass that Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time." That's important. Now watch this. "As he prepared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." That means eternal, permanently. Now watch. He had just finished the house of God. He gave the dedication prayer, and God comes to him now and begins to speak to him. I'm talking about the presence of God. How is it that we know what God is leading us to do from time to time? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's today. Maybe it's because of where I'm at and how long I've been here and the church has involved us so much. But it seems here to me that in the last year or so, that pastors and churches are facing the storms of the lifetime and these days. This just last week, I've talked to two churches that have terrible problems and they're trying to work it out. And the Bible is the answer to those problems. But again, when you have division, then somebody's wrong. And so I'm saying we're living in an age of this turmoil. Churches are literally being ripped to the core in our day because of various reasons. And there's no way that God can be in the presence of a church like that. He can live in our bodies. And I must explain to you there's a difference. This is the temple of God. If you're saved, you are a temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God did move in. You say, well, I didn't feel Him. It makes no difference. He moved in. If you truly got born again to the family of God, the Holy Spirit of God took abode in your heart and in your life. Now, He may lay there, He may be there dormant because you don't let Him activate, but He's there. Now, the presence of God in our midst, though, is something even that brings out the fact that He's there. And I hope that you will see that. So I want to talk about tonight, not only just this body is the temple of God, but ladies and gentlemen, hear me, though this building here is a building, and it has nothing to do with the body of Christ like you and I. This is a temple. But when we come here together, this is the house of God. When you and I come together as a body of believer, when we leave, then the house of God, as far as the temples are concerned, leave. But this building has been separated, dedicated, built for the purpose as the house of God. Now, when I see this, what God is saying to here in this day, it was important because the temple had a lot more to do what went on than what we have today. We don't have to worry about sacrifices. We don't have to worry about the priests and doing all that work. But we do have to come together, not forsake the assembling ourselves together, for the purpose of being refueled, for the purpose of worshiping God in an atmosphere where we may go back into that world and give God glory as He uses us. Now, the first time that God appeared to Solomon, go back over in chapter 3 with me. The first time that God appeared to Solomon was in Gibeon. And that's what we see in chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord appeared the first time at Gibeon. Now watch this. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon then, talked about his dad and so forth. And in verse 9, he said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." Boy, I understand that. "That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And notice, Solomon didn't say, "Lord, make me the richest man in the world." Solomon didn't say, "Lord, let me build the greatest kingdom in the world. Let me be the giant of the world." Solomon said, "Lord, help thy servant to have an understanding heart how to judge thy people." And notice verse 10. "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him," now I'm talking about the first time that God came to Solomon. By the way, he has to come the first time before he comes the second time. That's good mathematical elimination, isn't it? So watch. He said, "And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself." Oh, charismatics. What about this seed planting? What's going on here about coming to God and asking for everything except eternal life? "Nor has the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." Because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemy, because you didn't ask for those things that most of the world asks for, you asked for the wisdom that was needed to take care of God's people. And he said, "Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And watch, isn't God good? And he says, "I have given also thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days." Now, again, the dream here is not an uncommon thing in this day. Today, we have the Word of God. You say, "But preacher, what's the difference in today?" We have the Word of God. Every one of us have access to the Word of God. Let me ask you something, folks. Why would God have to come to me in a dream and tell me something He's already told me in His Word? I mean, this makes sense to me. Now, I thank God for some dreams. Most dreams I really don't have. I waste my time dreaming. They're foolish. Do you find yourself that way? The older I get, the more foolish they get. Sometimes some dreams I wish I could wake up before I woke up. You know that? Because it won't that good for me to even dream it. It certainly won't be good for me to even think about it in the flesh. And it's not that good to even dream it. Amen? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You're still here. You're in the flesh. You're just as, Say, "Bless God, holy and I, preacher. I'm glad I'm more holy than you are." No, you're not either. But I'm saying to you tonight, there are some things that Satan comes when we're not in control all the time. And thank God that we know that Jesus understands us. And not only that, but He's died that we might come to Him and know that things ought to be what they ought to be before. In Acts, in 1 Kings 8, verse 22 through 53, even with David's shortcoming, this is what amazes me. Everybody here knows David. And most of the time you think about, what about David? Not that he's a man after God's heart, but the fact is that David committed adultery, and David also committed murder by having a man killed who was the husband of the wife that he committed adultery with, Bathsheba. Now, the interesting things I read about this, even with David's shortcoming, though, God held him up as a godly man. You know why? Because the things that David did were bad. Yes, they were. But hear me, David sinned against God, but he never served other gods like Solomon. David never committed idolatry. That's something God hates. He hates all sin. That's something he hates. There are some things that God sometimes seems to be tolerant with. Not that he says it's all right. But there are some things God is not tolerant with. And that is when we replace him with idolatry. He comes swiftly. There have been times that he would wipe out even pagans. And even his own children would be punished because of idolatry. Solomon, though, in 1 Kings 11, 5 through 6, he committed great idolatry because of the women that he married into having alliance across the world in his day. Now, history will affirm and ages will attest that it is unwise to build God a house and he not dwell in it or not visit it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. There's people, no doubt, all over this country building what they say God's a house, and he ain't no way close to it. Just because we say we're going to build God a house, don't make it so. We can say it and label it, but if God doesn't be there in the midst, then it's not God's house. Because God's people make up the place we meet. And he says, let us not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. We as the temple come together, and he meets in our midst for us to go back into the world. But if he's not here, we don't need to be here. You hear what I said? If God is not in the midst when we meet, I don't need to be here. Hey, I need to be where he can be. He's living in my heart already. So if I leave here and go somewhere else where he's in the midst, or if you leave and go somewhere where he's in the midst, then there's a blessing beyond just having him living in our heart, if you understand what I'm talking about. So history will affirm and age attest that it's unwise to build God a house and put it that way unless he dwells in it. You see, God determines if a house is suitable for him to dwell in or a house for him to visit. This body is not suitable for the Holy Spirit to dwell in without the new birth. You say, well, that's your say. No, God himself will not live in a house that's not clean. So what does he do? He does what we can't clean ourselves up. So what does he do? He cleans us up through the blood of Jesus Christ before the Holy Spirit moves in. And then when the Holy Spirit moves in, that's a sure sign claiming the promises of God that God kept his word about washing us in that precious blood. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says that, Paul says, I wrote these things to you, to the church. For what? That you might know how to behave thyself in God's house. Isn't that interesting? He said, what I've written to you is a body of believers, so you'll know how, not so much as in this temple, because there's other places he talks, no, you're not, that you're bought with a price, your body's the temple of God, you're not your own. He tells us other places about the temple, but he tells us about the house of God. He says, these things I've written unto you, he's talking about deacons and the positions of the church and pastors and elders and so forth. He said, I've written that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God. That's what he said. I also know that I see that in 1 Peter, he tells us, 1 Peter 4, 17, he says judgment starts at the house of God, in God's house. And he says if it starts at us first, think what it's going to be to those who are outside who do not listen to what God has to say. I'm talking about God's present now. I'm talking about God being present in our midst. I thought about it. There is so much. This building was built for God to meet with his people in a local church. That's what this is for. This building is for us to come and enjoy the presence of God. This building is for us to come to laugh. Yes, sometimes it takes that. This building is to preach the word. This building is for us to come together to be refueled of people like faith to go back into the world that you and I might be able to serve God knowing we're not alone in our part of the world. And God meets with us in our midst and goes with us back out and blesses so we might be able to do the work that God has called us to do. We can't force ourselves on him. He has the key. You can't build a building and just force God to come into it. No. He has the key. He makes the determination what's going to be done or what's not going to be done at the time. You know, we can't force ourselves on him. Again, we abandon any claims we may think we might have, whether it's in this body or whether it's in God's house where we meet together collectively. God alone, listen to me, must decide if this will be his house to meet with his people. And that's exactly what happens. When that happens, it's dedicated to Him. Now, I want to give you two quick points and we'll go home. I'm talking about the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't hear this in a lot of places. But believe me, this is precious. This is precious. To understand, not only He lives in me, but, oh, praise His holy name when He comes in our midst. And we can see Him working. See God doing. I thought about this morning in preaching a message. Had great liberty to preach. And after the service, and people would come up and talk, and how God had worked, and hearts were touched. And one gentleman would come up and said, "Dr. Lance, I am so blessed today." Tears in his eyes, and he's going through something like I went through back in January. And he said, "Can I call you? Can I just call you? I just feel led. I need to be able to talk to you." I said, "Sir, you sure can. You can call me." He said, "Can I come by?" I said, "You sure can. You sure can." He said, "God has touched my heart today. I know without a doubt when I hear from you that God is anointed you in a special way." And I thank God. I said, "Lord, thank you for that." Because I didn't seek out doing this 49 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I'm so grateful of what God did in the early years of this church back many years ago. I thought about some things. I go back and I think about, and you hear me talk about the dry cleaning building. Some people say, "I get tired of hearing about dry cleaning." But that's all right. I'm going to still talk about it. Because listen, God has shown me in the last week or two that it won't for the dry cleaning building, this building wouldn't be here. If it won't for the dry cleaning building, the radio wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the dry cleaning building, ladies and gentlemen, the academy wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the dry cleaning building, the college wouldn't be here. And God has said, "Son, I can be present in the dry cleaning building with two or three gathered together in my name as much so as I can here in this building with 500 or 600 gathered together in my name. The numbers don't matter. The fact what matters is that I am the center of your midst when you meet together. Because if you don't have me in the center of your midst, then you're just meeting as an audience, not as a church. The church is not a church if God's not there. If God is not there, golden organs may play, and there's no sweetness in the music if God's not there. Men may pray, but there's no power if God is not there. Choirs may sing, but there's no souls that are moved if God is not there. Offerings may be taken, ladies and gentlemen, but the windows of heaven are not open if God's not there. Preaching may be done, but there's no power, it has no avail if God's not there. I'm talking about the presence of God. The presence of God is so important for the power of His church. The church is not the church if God's not there. You say, "Well, preacher, He lives in me, so if I go anywhere, God is there." I know He is, and thank God for that. That's a seal of, that's a down payment of our trusting in Jesus Christ. But there's some places you go, that we might go that grieves the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you this, if I go anywhere in His name and He's not there, the Holy Spirit's grieved. If I'm involved with something that whereas in turn I say that God is not there, I mean, the Word's not taught. I mean, everything in it. Listen, you can't teach the Word of God anywhere, thus saith the Lord, without God being there. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Because that's how the Word of God works in our hearts and life. It does things to us in turn that nothing else will. But thank God Almighty, I'm so grateful. A lot of things that happened. I read back one time for a story that Peter was in Corinth, I think it was, or somewhere or another. And they had these baths in those days where water came out of the mountain and met baths for men. And he was in one of the baths one time. This may be a legend, or it may not even be true, but the story come out. And I read in the book, and they said that when Peter was in there, he heard that there's an atheist in there, didn't believe in God. And said, man, he ran out almost with putting his clothes on because he didn't want to be in a room where an atheist would be at. God might destroy the place. We don't feel that way, do we? Man alive, we just have everything flooding our mind with so much in this world. It just doesn't seem normal, doesn't it? God to live in is an abnormal thing in our particular day. The second thing I want you to know is the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time. In 1 Kings chapter 9. The first time He appeared in 1 Kings chapter 3. But He appeared the second time. Now I want to say this. Thank God for His second visit after the first. I thank God for the first. The first time that God appeared, ladies and gentlemen, is for us to get to know Him. The first time God appeared to you was when you heard the Word of God. And He worked out so you and I could get to know Him. He worked out so we could be born into the family of God. The first time the Holy Spirit was drawing us to the Lamb of God. The first time God was anointing the Word of God to be preached to draw us to the Lamb of God. Thank God for the first time. The second time, though, God came and began to feel His presence was to put us into a work to know what He wants us to do. The second time God has a work for us to do. If the Lord does not reveal Himself the first time, He'll not be back the second time for us to do a work. See, you have to be born in the family of God before you can do the work. So He may come back and thank God He doesn't give up on. I'm glad I heard the message 3 years before I got saved. I thought everything was fine and said on church people, but I was just as lost as drunk in the ditch. But I'm glad He doesn't just write us off. He keeps coming back and come back. But every time He comes back and I'm not saved, it's always for the first time. He wants me to hear the message. He wants me to trust Christ. He wants me to believe, like He said, do on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. But the second time He comes, once you do that, then the second time He comes is to put us where He would have us be to serve Him. The first time He assigns you. The second time He confirms you. The first time He gives you sight. The second time He gives you insight. The first time He reveals His plan that He wants you to be saved. Then He reveals His purpose for you being saved. Thank God. Not only He saved us, He didn't leave us out there with no direction at all. He gave us directions to know what He would have us to do in this life. So God promised Solomon His present. Prayer Solomon did before. We get down to this in chapter 9. Prayer is necessary for building God a house. Why? Because there's not a one in here can't probably work with someone to build a house. You know, we can build it, but God has to bless it. We can design it, but God has to dedicate it. Even when we go through a dedication service, we can have all the dedication we want to, but if God don't sanction it, it ain't worth anything. I'm showing you about God's presence tonight. We can structure it, but He has to sanctify it. We can plan it, but God has to purify it. And the blood of Christ, the only thing, can do just that. There is only so much that we can do, and then we have to yield to Him for His glory. God's promise of His present to Solomon was not a conditional promise. It was not a provisional promise. He says, I'll put my name there in verse 3. That's what He told Solomon. Solomon had dedicated that to a prayer. He'd gone through now that the temple was made for God to come and dwell in according to His plan and purpose. The sacrifices are made like they ought to be made. Then He'll be there for those people. And He says in verse 3, He says, I will put my name there. That's the question. When you talk about human beings, where is it that God puts His name in human beings? When we trust Christ as Savior. That's the stamp of approval. That's the identification that you and I have. Where is it we come together like this to be in our midst? This is the house of God. Again, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13 verse 5. In other words, He'll always be there. He'll always be there. I'm talking about the presence of God. He'll be there. Nothing can separate us from God. Romans 8 teaches us that. There's nothing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's nothing that can separate us from Him once we come to know Him as our Savior. He's always there. He's always there through the storm and the rain. He's always there through good times and through bad times. God is always there present with His people. He's there when Satan tries to attack us. He's there when death angel comes. He's there when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's there when the mountains and the valleys get in the way. He's there when people don't do right. I'm telling you, when you are saved, God's always there. Many times people say, preacher, I don't understand my prayer. I don't get to the ceiling. I don't know. Well, face it. We all come to those days. There's sometimes I'm praying for things like that. Other times it seems like God's 100 miles away. But He's always there. You know why? Because He promised to be. His presence is promised. When you and I got saved, He paid a down payment to you and I by giving us His Holy Spirit. And that's the assurance, if you get the Holy Spirit, that's the assurance that this is the temple of God. But He also wants to meet in our midst. Because, ladies and gentlemen, He can live in us and we never be blessed like He wants to bless us. But He can bless us together if we'll let Him. He can bless us together. And He wants to do just that. In Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So, the promise of His presence. Matthew 18, verse 20, He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And I go back again to the dry cleaning building years ago. Not too long ago, just a few days ago, I woke up early in the morning. I was reminiscing things in my mind. And I know God spoke to my heart just as plain. When you step out by faith to go do what God have you to do, keep your eyes on Me. Did you not know that I was with you in the dry cleaning building? Yes, Lord. Did you not know that when nobody, you and your wife and your two children who were 2 and 4, I was with you? Yes, Lord. Then do you not know if I gave you wisdom in that day to do what need to do to get you where I am now, I can give you wisdom now to maintain it? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that because He lives in me and He's in our mess and we have the Word of God that gives us information of what we should act upon. Thank God for His presence can calm me before the storm. It can also calm me during the storm, because He can say, peace, be still any time, and so can you. He can say, peace. He can do it before the storm. He can do it during the storm. He may do it after the storm. But the storm obeys Him. When He says, peace, be still, the storm obeys. Do you not believe? My thoughts. I know God didn't speak no audible voice. Do you not believe that when you had 2 or 3 gathered together, I was in your midst? Yes, Lord, I believe that. Then you cannot see if you got 500, I can still be in your midst. Numbers don't make the difference. It's the people in the numbers that makes the difference. Please understand what I'm saying. God is showing us, not only does He live in us, but He wants to be in our midst. And I'll tell you this, if He's in our midst, vertically, things will be right with God. And then horizontally, things will be right with God's people. Because you can't be right with Him without being right with God's people. And I find the thing that God, I say, thank you, God, for Your presence. And help me understand. Solomon, he says, I have hallowed this house. I have hallowed this house which Thou hast built for Me to put My name there forever. And I read that and I said, you know, that's what God has done for us. This is the temple of God. He moved in. He's put His name there. And I've got news for you. The new creation is forever. This is changing. One day this is going back to the dust. You know, if I die and I'm put in the ground and 2 months later come back, I won't look like this. And you won't look like you. But there's a new creation in Christ Jesus that God has said, I put My name there. You're My child. And I want to be not only in you, I want to be in Your presence. I want you to know that I'm more than just what the people think. You can know that I'm involved with your life. You can know what God is doing. I've hallowed My name, which has been this house, to put My name there forever. So He's promised to the child of God. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He wants to be in our presence. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad He said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, I'm in the midst. Because you think sometimes He said, oh boy, I went to this conference, there were 5,000 there. Boy, the presence of God. He's no more present there than He is with 2 or 3, according to His promise. Now, what's the difference the way we are? The way we are, we look at things in magnitude as being something of God. And it could be that God has written Ichabod over it all. What I'm saying to you, God does not put his name where he's not allowed to be. But if he has his way like he wants to have it in our lives, you can mark it down. God joys to put his name there. And I believe we got people right here that God enjoys putting his name here among his people. Because I let them know in the last 2 weeks how many times someone has said to me who didn't even live in this era, you'd be surprised how God has taken Fellowship Baptist Church and the ministers here and what he's doing around the world. And we're in a little town of Clayton, don't seem like a lot. He's doing anything in it other than what we're doing here. What I'm saying is to use this. God's presence is omnipresent. Yes, it is. But there's more to it than that. He lives in us. He comes in our midst. He blesses us. He brings us together. He burdens our heart. And we'll lay a now foundation. Lord, don't come back for something that another few years from now, hopefully. But I'll tell you this. The moment that he won't leave us in the body. Because that's the down payment of the new creation in Jesus Christ. But the very moment we don't let him come with us in our midst. Well, preacher, you can't do that. He's omnipresent. You missed the whole message if you don't understand what I'm talking about. The very moment we don't let him come with us in our midst, he'll write Ichabod on that door. And we can come and have an audience, but not have a church. I'm giving my heart, folks. We can have an audience, but we won't have a church. If you're going to have a church, you've got to have his presence. For he is the foundation, the cornerstone. He's everything that the church is, or he's nothing. Let's stand to our feet. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Remind us who we are. Brother J.B. prays so many times, Lord, never let us forget where you brought us from. How true that is. Thank you for our board. Thank you, Lord, for our members, for our teachers. Thank you for those who go the extra mile to set the example to be what they need to be. Thank you, Father, for the staff. Everyone in this church, thank you for them tonight. We don't take for granted when we come together. Lord, we didn't come here tonight just to have another meeting. At least I didn't. We didn't come here tonight just to say, well, you know, I went to church last night. I started to stay home, and I wished I had. It's kind of boring. No, Lord, we come because this is where God helped put his name years ago. It started from that dry cleaning building. And dear Father, as you were in the midst there, you'd be in the midst now. And dear Father, I believe with all my heart, when you have people, no matter who they are, don't have to be in a bit of action, be anyone, dear Father, who wants God's will more than anything else in this world. And you begin to lead them in direction because he's taken up abode in our hearts. Then he wants us to come together in his midst. And Lord, when we come together here, dear God, this church ought to be a place if someone's hurting and go to someone and never have to worry about being ridiculed. It ought to be a place where we can come and our burdens share with each other and never worry about gossip. But Lord, I'm afraid we got some place to grow here. We ought to have a heartbeat for someone who's hurting rather than trying to hurt them more because they got caught in trap. Dear Father, if we could see what you see in every heart here tonight, I guarantee you there's some things that no one would want anybody else to know that you know about. And dear Father, I'm amazed how much you forgive us. And you're willing to forgive us. You're willing to forgive us for everything. And then we're so holy in thou that we don't want to forgive nobody nothing. Lord, is something wrong? Something wrong. Please guard this church. Please give us, dear Father, the understanding that you live in our heart. But when we come together, dear Father, the Holy Spirit lives in all of us who have been born again. But you come in our midst to help us. You're bearing witness with the Word of God. And dear Father, I stand a chance always to have people not to like me or care nothing for me, depending where they're at before you. But I know this, if I keep my focus on you, and you reminded me that here the other night, Lord, you reminded me that I focus on you in the dry cleaning building. I focus on you in the rough tabernacle. And dear Father, now we're focusing on you in this building and any other building. Our church is trying to focus on you as a whole. Yes, we hadn't arrived yet. Yes, we have problems. We acknowledge that. Lord, we realize that probably we're being looked at more than a lot of folks are as far as assemblies are concerned. But our focus is on you. And dear Father, there's a lot of areas that maybe we fail. But I don't believe there's any place that we have failed like even David. David was not an idolater. He believed in the true and living God. And I believe that's the way it is here. We believe in the true and living God. Lord, we love you so much because you love us. And I pray tonight, help us to see God's presence. Oh, what joy it is to know that not only you live in my heart, and I leave, you're with me all the time, wherever I am, whatever I face. But Lord, we come together, God's people, and you in our presence. What a sweetness it is to sing songs of Zion and hear the voices raise up towards heaven. What a joy it is to hear someone pray and God touches the heart. And in turn, dear Lord, we see that it comes from the heart and it's just not for the mind. What a joy it is when specials sing and they're carrying their talent for you. We're not professionals, Lord. We don't claim to be. But when we sing, it comes from our heart because we know you're in our midst. Thank you for that, Lord. Continue to bless us to hear that way. And give us and bless so many who give their time and their talent. Bless our musician. Bless Brother Ken. Bless the choir. Bless the teachers. Bless the staff. Father, bless every phase of this church as we try to give you our talents for the glory of God. Thank you for every member you sent our way. And we pray this week will be a great week for your kingdom because of this day's service here at Fellowship Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.